Welcome back to Bullpen Banter, Episode 2. You are here with your hosts, Ian Finlayson, Evan Davidson, and Zach Phillips. We are down a man today. Christian Larson not able to make it, unfortunately, so we'll be without our resident prospect aficionado, but we'll have to just power on through this episode without him. It is the final day of Major League Baseball spring training. That's all wrapped up. Everyone is geared up for the regular season starting on Thursday, March the 28th. Go over some thoughts on the final rosters, kind of sum up spring training a little bit, look at some of the some of the pitching health. Has been a lot of news around the Jays lately, and a lot of it hasn't been good, so go over that a little bit. We have some over-under predictions, and we're going to go around the MLB a little bit, so lots of different stuff to touch on today.
Yeah, for sure. We got some roster decisions coming in as well on the offensive side of things, finding out who's going to be the bench players for the Jays this season. Bit of the obvious choices coming in there with Babe Schneider, Vogelbach making the team, and Ernie Clement as well. So pretty interesting decisions coming in there from the Jays staff. Nathan Lucas being left off. I know, Ian, you've got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I thought Lucas had an outside shot at making the roster, just because in the past they've always liked to include that fourth outfielder. We've seen Bradley Zimmer and last year, they had Eden on the roster at the end of the season. They had Lucas on the roster at the start of the season. So a lot of the time they like that positional versatility over maybe some extra offensive impact off the bench. But they've kind of taken a turn on that this year and given Vogelbach the spot. As far as the outfield goes, they have a few infielders that have that versatility to go out and play the outfield. They have IKF, who's played center, Biggio, who can go into the outfield. And they also have Varsho, can obviously slide over and play center, but Clement has even played some left field in spring training as well, so they have options.
Well, he also got Davis Schneider, right? He made that incredible catch and left the other day. So I think they just valued all these guys because of their positional versatility. I know that the front office has liked to do that in the past. They like guys that can play everywhere, and now you got Clement and Schneider off the bench that can really slide in almost anywhere on the diamond, so you have that, which is probably why Lucas got sent down. I mean, I don't mind Nathan Lucas, but I'd way rather have Clement and David Schneider on the team over him. I do love me some Cam Eden, though. I love his speed, but that's maybe a down-the-road September guy.
Yeah, so I feel like Joey Votto might have had a better track to putting up a fight with Vogelbach had he not tripped over the bat, so I think that decision kind of made itself for the Jays there. I also love the catch that Schneider made. That was incredible. Yeah. What a grab. And Ernie was just, we've talked about it. He's been on a tear. I think it's one of the coolest stories of the spring. So, yeah, it's nice to know. We're going to get the pitching side of things come the next couple of days, I think, as well. Who's going to make the final spot of the roster there? So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, as far as the Davis Schneider catch is concerned, I think it's great that he's making a grab like that and going to that effort and spring training. I don't know if I'm as high on it as you guys are. I think it might have been a little bit of a TV dive, or I don't know if
it's cool.
Equipped outfielder is necessarily having to dive to make that catch, but he definitely could see some time in left field, especially against lefties. Going over to the pitching side, where Zach was going there. The thing about the pitching is it's really up in the air right now. Obviously the 13 position players have all been finalized by John Schneider the last 2 days. We're waiting to find out if Gausman is going to be going in the first run of the rotation. He looked really, he had his first spring training start today in the last game of spring training. And looked really good. He struck out 7. He went 3+, got up a fourth time. So what do you guys think? I know that I'm personally a little bit hesitant about Gausman making his second start against players wearing other jerseys in the regular season, first time through the rotation against the Houston Astros. That seems a little risky to me, but what do you guys think about that?
I think he's fine. I mean, you maybe could give him in his first start, or just kind of ease him back in, maybe 5 innings, watch his pitch count a little bit, just make sure he's fine. But I think it all depends on, how he feels tomorrow. But he had, what, seven strikeouts in three innings today? I mean, he looked like his old self. In the bullpen, though, it's a lot more concerning, right? Because you have Romano and Swanson that are most likely going to start the season on IL, which is not ideal. It's the back end of your bullpen. And so there's just a lot of options that can go on there. Nate Pearson is always an intriguing option. He was a top prospect. He's got heat. Yariel Rodriguez, we touched on last episode. He's looked pretty solid in the spring. Who's going to be the closer? Is it going to be Chad Green, Jimmy Garcia, maybe even Tim Meza a little bit, right? I also am a fan of Zach Pop. He didn't play very well today. He pitched, he only got through a third of an inning, gave up two hits and two runs, only one earned. But I like his stuff. I think it's difficult to hit. And I think down the road, we could see him. I don't know if he'll make it opening day, but I think down the road you'll definitely see him on the roster.
Good Canadian boy, Zach Pop.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. I on Gosman's front, I'm on your side there, Ian. I think rushing him into the season is a little irresponsible. Today's outing was a great one, and I think that puts a little more doubt into whether or not he's going to be pushed back. I think it might bring him into the first turn through the rotation, but it depends on what the coaching staff and how he feels ultimately thinks. So I would personally not rush him in there. Let some of the other guys handle the early April games, late March, I guess.
They have guys that can easily fill in. Bowden Francis, I believe, is going to be the fifth starter, which I'm very happy for him. He's awesome. I really like his stuff. He also traded for Mitch White a few years ago, who hasn't had the greatest run in Toronto, but he's shown that he can somewhat take on that Ross Stripling role, a bit of a long man out of the bullpen if they need, but also start games if need be. He started quite a few in his career. And if you need to go that route and give Gosman a little bit more of a break, you can.
Yeah, to touch on a couple of you guys' points there, just to go back to who's going to be closing games, I do definitely think it will be closer by committee, like depending on, matchup dependent, obviously. Meza could be going in there if there's a couple tough lefties. I could, see Green closing games or Garcia closing games. It'll be a bit of ride the hot hand. It'll be based on the matchups. Jimmy has 21 career saves. Chad Green has 11. I did, just touching on those guys, want to go around the room and ask you guys what your level of confidence, if you were to, give it a number out of 10, for both Chad Green and Jimmy Garcia, either closing games or facing, top of the lineup, middle of the lineup in high leverage situations. So I'll pass it over to Evan first. What do you think?
Oh, I think maybe like a 6.5, 7 out of 10. Obviously, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson back there. Chad Green, his career showed he can be very successful in high leverage, right? When he was with the Yankees, was it him and Dellin Betances running that back end of the bullpen for a little bit, right? Jimmy Garcia has looked very good at times, and he's also had a little rough stretches. I'd feel more confident with Chad Green over Jimmy, but I'm fine with either. They're both pretty solid bullpen arms. And if need be, they've shown they can get, it's not a great sample size, but they can close out games. But I think it's just, like you said, going to be a committee until we get Jordan Romano back.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Chad Green. Just kind of building off of where he was last season. He only got into 12 innings towards the end, recovering from his surgery. He had a whip around 1.03, so he pitched well when he came back for the Jays last year. Got into 12 different games over 12 innings. His ERA was up over 5, but he still looked well. Looked like he could handle major league innings still. And he's only got 11 saves in his career, so the ninth inning is a little bit of a new role for him. But I feel like Garcia is going to get the first look, and then anytime the matchups favor another guy, that's potentially when Schneider will go a different direction. But I have more confidence in Garcia than I do in Green, but I still think Chad Green's a good option back there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I might lean a little bit the other way. Something about Jimmy, I don't know if it was because a lot of the games I was at last year were his blow-ups. I might be a little bit of personal bias, but I don't know, something about him. Like, he's looked electric in spring, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, something about him closing games just doesn't 100% sit right with me. Maybe you'll prove me wrong. Chad Green looked just dialed in his last spring outing. Struck out the side, got seven whiffs on 14 pitches. I believe it was four with the fastball, three with the curveball. I don't think anyone, no one touched his curveball. It was either a called strike or a whiff. So, I don't know. Something about Chad Green, and I it's probably just because he's pitched so much high leverage baseball in the AL East in his time with the Yankees. So that really makes me like Chad Green there. I was also taking a peek back on the Savant page of Kevin Gausman here, just to circle back around to that as well. He had four whiffs with the splitter today. You got a couple swinging third strikes there. So that's always nice to see. It's nice, like, if the splitter is, that's his bread and butter, right? That's got to be working for him for everything else to work. He was locating his fastball well. I mean, it's the first time we've seen him this spring, so it was definitely encouraging. I just don't like the level of risk there. Like, if they're going to have that level of urgency to feel like they need to put Kevin Gausman in, the second series of the season against the Houston Astros, pitching in that intensive an environment in his second game against, real competition, it just seems iffy to me. Like, he's so important to this team. 3.5 win player last year, could be, 4 or 5 win player for the team. Really just absolutely integral to their success. And I just think, it's so much safer to just let him build up a little bit more. IL, you can backdate it, I believe, to March the 25th. He'd probably only have to miss one start. You could get him that extra rehab start. I just think it's not a lot of loss there, not a lot of risk for a lot more potential reward if he does, if that ends up being key to him staying healthy. So that's my personal opinion there. But it seems like from what it feels like watching him pitch today and the words from John Schneider, it seems like they are leaning towards giving him that start the first time through the rotation.
Yeah, that's kind of, given everything you just said, that still kind of surprised me that they want to rush him in. Would you have him stay back and throw a simulated game, or I guess it would have to be a minor league game in Dunedin, or would you have him go with the club and wait for the AAA season to start and go open up a season there for a rehab outing?
I don't know. I think either would be fine. Like, I think more important than the environment he's pitching in is probably just like building up a little bit more and getting those pitches and innings in. I would imagine probably just IL and then give him a rehab start at AAA Buffalo. It could be a sim game as well, though. I don't think it would really matter too much. I know they like to put him in sim games and in minor league games last spring, training to try and hide him away and not let other teams get a look at him. So maybe some of that comes into play. But just to segue a little bit, the other thing I wanted to touch on just with the Blue Jays spring training was just how good the offense has been. It's been pretty crazy. They've absolutely mashed top five, rather, in almost every single offensive category except for the one that's the most sexy, which is home runs. They were top five in home runs a few days ago, and now they've sunk to seventh, unfortunately. But yeah, they were fourth in runs, first in hits, second in total bases, seventh in home runs, third in RBIs, and fifth in OPS. So it's so hard to say. You don't want to put too much stock into spring training. Like, anytime a team does well or a player does well in spring training, people always like to use that and say, oh, it looks like they're great. And if, they don't do well in spring training, you want to say, oh, it's just spring training. It doesn't matter that much. So what do you guys think? How much are we actually valuing this offensive showing?
I think you take it with a grain of salt, but it definitely means something. If you look at it more at an individual case-by-case basis and why these numbers are the way they are, Kevin Kiermaier, 4 bombs. Alejandro Kirk, he had 3. I believe he's still there. Just the case-by-case basis for each player is having good springs, and I think that's what you can take from these numbers. And look, like Justin Turner, he's found a little bit of power this spring as well, looking like he can continue what he's been doing from last year on into this season. So, yeah, I do think that we can look at these and be a little bit excited about them. Like I said, Kiermaier had a conversation about wanting to come into this season with more power, and he's got 4 homers in the spring, which is not something you would typically think. And I think he's only at 38 at-bats, so that's a good rate for him. So, yeah, I do agree that we should be a little bit optimistic about these numbers.
Yeah, well, it seems like everyone's kind of clicking right now. IKF is or hit what, like 340. So I don't know how sustainable like those type of numbers are in the regular season over the course of 160 whatever games in the playoffs. But Vladdy has looked to be more close to his former self. Bo is going to be Bo. Varsho's looked great. Just it seems like everyone's clicking. If it does continue into the regular season, I would be all for it, obviously. That would be awesome. And then when they get Danny back and they're pitching, then like I feel like obviously sky's the limit, but definitely take the spring with a grain of salt because it is spring. But they have looked good.
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys kind of general way of perceiving that there. Like it matters a little bit. It does. It's not like the whole world or anything. The Kevin Kiermaier four home runs in spring training is wild to me. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. He hit three home runs in it was the shortened season, but three in 2020, four in 2021, seven in 2022, and then eight last year. He already is half his home run total of all last year like, you know, 30 some odd spring at bats. So that's pretty crazy.
Rogers Center's renovations.
Oh yeah. And then the other thing that like really stood out to me this spring training, and this is with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is, you know, the most important piece of the Jays offense. So definitely a big part of the overall offensive picture there as well. Like his patience has been similar to what we saw in his 2021 season. And when he was coming up through the minors, he's really not swinging at those down and away breaking balls out of the zone. Like he was waving at so often last year. OPA, like the numbers and the slash line for him and George Springer, again, like two of the big bounce back candidates this year are crazy. Like they're both over 400. Both have OPSs over 1,200. They're just putting up monster spring numbers, showing really great play discipline, making really good quality of contact. So a lot of encouraging stuff there. Now it's just time to see if it translates into results in the regular season. Just want to go over some Jays over-unders going into the season here. We're going to whip it around the room and just see what everyone thinks of these numbers here. So we'll start off with just basic win total for the team. We have it set at 86.5. What do you guys think?
With absolutely zero bias at all, I would like to say over. Once again, zero bias. I think it's a realistic number, 87 wins. I think it all depends on their health. I don't see why they wouldn't get 87. I mean, they've been hovering around that number for the past few years, a bit over. They're a good ball club. I think they can easily get it.
Yeah, I agree. 86.5 is why the odds makers are so good at making these not lines, because I was coming in personally at the start of the season thinking they were right around there. I'd love to see them break the 90 threshold, but I think we have to consider what has been done, what's been brought in, what was last season. And to take that all into consideration, I think 87 is kind of where I'm hoping they land. That being said, it's going to depend on the stretch run towards the end of the season. Like if the Yankees and the Orioles are both hovering around 95 wins, then that looks at a wild card spot for us. So we're going to have to try to keep up with 95, I think, is the pace we're going to need. But it's gonna be interesting to see how that folds out.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be in the wild card race. And if they're going to want to make it, they're going to have to be around that number. I don't think, like, 83 wins isn't going to cut it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit of a downer right now. And this is coming from someone who traditionally is a big-time homer. So I don't know what that says, but I'm going to go under. I think they'll be in the wild card hunt. I don't think they'll be, like way under or anything like that. I'm just a little bit pessimistic, honestly, going into the season. They had a lot of war going out, not a lot coming in. I think the big thing that everyone is kind of forgetting about is just how healthy the pitching was last season and how lucky they got with, only using eight starters. I think, you know, there's going to be more attrition that gets to the pitchers this year. They do have better depth to combat that. But I just don't know if the offense is going to be quite powerful enough and bounce back enough to make up for that. Next, we're going to go to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home runs, over under 32.5.
Whew, that's a tough one. I'm going to say over. I am. I think Vladdy's going to have a comeback year this season. I wanted him in fantasy, didn't get him. But 32.5 is a good number for Vlad. I saw him eclipsing 30. 32.5 makes me a little bit nervous. I saw him right around 31, I think. But let's hope he can get 40. Let's be optimistic here. But I think as a non-homer, I think 32 is pretty close.
Based on the spring, you would have to think over. He's played really well. I would like him to return to that MVP finalist form. If he can, the 32.5 is going to get smashed.
Totally.
So I think probably 35 is where he's going to end up. I don't think he's going to return to that insane year, but he's going to be better than he was last year. I just have a lot of hope for him. I think the entire city of Toronto does. So I'm going to take the over.
We got a consensus over here. I'm going to agree with you guys and go over. MLB, 24 cover athlete, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think he's going to smash, smash on the turbo button this year. I think he's going to be really good. He kind of has to be. If it's the third down year in a row, I think we start looking at his value significantly decreasing, and I think his next big contract comes into question a little bit. So he's got to do it.
So while we are on the topic of betting, why don't we talk about the big news from the weekend, Mr. Yes. Shohei Ohtani?
Absolutely, it's groundbreaking news. If you're an American, Canada is still huge. Our professor Richard Deitch put it into great perspective. Imagine if Connor McDavid got caught up in a betting scandal. I thought that really put it into great perspective for those who don't really fathom how big Shohei is. But yeah, an absolute something's going on. Something stinks. Like something reeks. And ESPN's done a great job with it. But I want your guys' thoughts too.
It's definitely a fun situation to watch. Obviously, we don't know the full truth. There's many different things being reported. There's theories that it was on stuff with his interpreter was on Shohei's behalf. There's a lot of memes about it. I personally don't know anything, obviously. I just read. It does make for a fun situation as an outsider, though. There's a lot of jokes. I enjoy them. I would assume most of us do. I made a joke. It keeps on going, right? I think this is something that will follow him, too, for the rest of his career. It's a really big big issue. Obviously, he now needs a new interpreter.
Yeah.
So hopefully he finds a better interpreter.
Yeah.
Yeah, similar to what you were saying, Evan, I don't have, a huge breakdown or analysis of the situation. I'm mostly looking at the memes on Twitter and kind of really just enjoying it from more of a fan perspective. I saw the other day someone was saying, oh, you should have to back out and play basketball for a year.
Yeah.
And,
do what I'm Jordan
like,
did.
Yeah, I'm liking that kind of stuff.
The best meme was he said that, or his former teammate said that he doesn't pay attention to any other sports. So people were posting a picture of him at March Madness a few years ago, and it looked like he was sweating out a bet.
Totally sweating a parlay.
Yeah. I like that kind of stuff. And I mean, hey, if you look at Jordan, it's not like that really put a black mark on his reputation. Is the first thing that people talk about when they talk about Michael Jordan betting? No, they talk about his basketball first. So I don't think it's going to mar Shohei's reputation significantly, at least. You're right, it will follow him, and it will, just like Jordan, it will be something people always bring up in the conversation, but I don't think it'll be the first thing.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I've been following it a little bit. I think it's really fascinating the fact that the original story has been completely flipped on, and I think that's where the Ohtani involvement really sticks with me. I maybe he just loaned him the money, and they're trying to cover up the fact, allegedly owned him the money, and they're just trying to cover it up because it's still illegal in California, and that does not look great. For a business perspective, I know the MLB is going to barely probe into this. They don't want to find a damn thing. So I don't really see much coming out of it as just speculation is all, really.
It was a large sum of money too, right? What was it? 500 grand around
there?
Or was it more?
I think it was 4.5.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I mean, still in...
I'll double check that really quick.
Zach will pull that up. I believe it was 4. Yeah, I'm 4.5 as well, but, something like that.
Relative to the contract, it's like penny change,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
For Shohei. But yeah, this isn't just like some small thing, right? This is going to be an ongoing story for a very, very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so, I mean, Shohei might be taking over unders as well. Who knows? All speculation.
But, we should have got Ohtani's picks, eh?
Yeah, back to the Jays over unders.
Just quickly, I can confirm here, it is at least $4.5 million and made in 9 deposits of $500K.
Okay, so that's where I got the
You got the $500K, from. Right. It was just 9 times.
That is, yeah. That's, I mean, if he wants to do that with me, I'll...
Yeah,
I'll hammer Vlad's over homers with 500.
You can hook him up with a Venmo account, eh?
Yeah,
yeah. So the next Jays over under that we have, Ricky Tiedemann, big league innings. Do you guys think will be over under 79.5 innings for the Jays this year?
That's a tough one. It all depends on when he gets called up and how many he's got under his belt when he gets called up. I mean, obviously, that's the issue. I think he gets called up. I think if there's an injury 2 months into the season, I think he's one of the first ones that gets looked to. So that I will bet on that. I will take the over 79.5 in hopes that I get to watch him.
Yeah, if I feel the same. I want to watch him, so I hope it's the over. I think it's all dependent, obviously, on their injury situation. I don't think he's going to break the team out of camp. Do I think he's talented enough? Absolutely. If the injuries on the pitching side continue... Like, if this is a trend throughout the year, I think he will absolutely be called up. He's obviously a far more long-term solution than Mitch White. Or even if, let's say, Gausman isn't ready, right? He doesn't recover well from his outing today. And Mitch White gets a few starts, or Bowden Francis really struggles. And I think they might call him up earlier than anticipated. For my personal hopes, I do hope it's the over. But I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, it's very possible that he gets called up early into the season if some of those things that Evan just mentioned happen. I found it really interesting the way that the John Schneider talked about Ricky Tiedemann not ruling him out for the big league team at a camp. Like, I don't think he'll make the big league team at a camp either. The fact that they weren't ruling it out, though, yeah, very interesting. Because I like Mitch White is definitely the higher floor option and would probably provide more innings to, you know, put less stress on the bullpen out of the gate. But guys like Ricky Tiedemann and then also Yariel Rodriguez, looking at his last, you know, 3-inning scoreless outing, I think provide that higher ceiling upside that the team might be willing again to gamble on, given the, you know, how much they're stressing urgency with the team's timeline.
Was that a Shohei pun?
No.
We should go, but they're going to start flying here soon. So I just did the math real quick on a calculator because I suck at math. 79 innings divided by 5. So let's say he got out 5. He was perfect every time. Like, not perfect, but in today's world, 5 innings is what you ask for. That's 15 appearances almost with 5 innings each appearance. So that's quite a few times out. So he would have to get called up pretty early for that to hit, in my opinion.
Let's also not forget that he himself has a fairly lengthy injury history. Knock on wood, he's healthy, right? If the spring is any indication on what's to come for the pitching staff, I'm scared. But as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be great in the MLB for a very long time, mm-hmm. I think. But I think it's going to be the under.
Yeah. No, that fastball on the corner to McCutcheon, every time I close my eyes, I see him painting that, especially the way he set it up. But anyway, we can move on to the next one here, Ian.
Yeah, so for the final over-under we'll touch on for the Jays, this is the big one. This is the one that's that isn't you know, the front of every fan's mind, especially after the way the last two seasons have finished. Playoff wins, over-under 0.5.
Yeah, so this touches into my conversation about the 86.5 threshold for them. I do think it's going to be a Yankees and Orioles battle for the top of the division, which puts them in the wild card series. Given the track record, I do think we should be a little bit more worried about the wild card series this year than we have been in the past, given how poorly they've continued to go. But I feel like we can win one of 3 wild card games this year, as long as we get into the make the dance and let's get let's see who we can pull.
I took the over on their win total, and I think they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they can win one game. They haven't the past 2 years, which is really concerning. But I have hope that if they do make it, they will win one game. And because I took the over on the win total, I do think they're going to make the playoffs. So I will be taking the over on 0.5 wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, for my sanity, I'm also going to take the over. I just, it can't keep happening, right? Over and over again, I just think they have to eventually win a playoff game by the
clearly
odds.
Don't watch the Maple Leafs very much.
Well, I stopped, so. I'll take them winning a game in the playoffs. I'll even go so far as to say they sneak into the wild card and make it to the division series.
Yeah. As long as Ubaldo Jimenez pitches against Edwin, then we're going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm down to run that back for sure. Okay, so I guess the last thing we'll circle around here real quick before we say goodbye for this episode. Bold predictions for this season, whether it's Jay's predictions around the league. Give me some hot takes here, guys.
All right, I'll give you a really crispy hot take, and it's that Alek Manoah will see himself back in the top three of the rotation by the end of the season. I think he's going to – I keep getting refuted on this, but I think he's going to figure it out, and I don't think it's going to be quick. I think it's going to be a progression, but I think by the end of the season we're going to be looking at it and we're going to be going, hey, Alek Manoah, those were some solid innings this season.
So you think he'll be better than –
better than last
Gausman,
year.
Gausman, Berríos,
no, and Bassett? I put him at three. Like, I'm not trying to say.
So one of those three.
Yeah.
He'll be better
than. He's not going to be our ace. He's not going to be number two. I'm putting him at three.
Okay.
But I do think it's not going to be like it was in 21. But I do think we're going to be like, hey, those were some solid innings out of Manoah.
If he goes back to his Cy Young finalist form and the rest of our rotation pitches like they did last year, then I don't know who could beat us. That's pretty. Oh. Pretty crazy. I'm going to give you some that Christian sent me. First one is he does have Baltimore to win the AL East.
Okay.
So he's betting on their young studs being young studs, right? They could field almost three entire teams with how many they have.
A plethora.
He also has the Miami Marlins under 78.5 wins. Marlins are an interesting case because they've been kind of teetering back and forth the past few years between a solid ball club and one who doesn't finish at the top. And they have some good young guys. I do like Tanner Scott, only because I have him in fantasy. So it'd be great that he continues. Maybe Sixto is in shape, in air quotes, because he doesn't look it. But he's pitching decently well.
Yeah, it's so first MLB action since 2020, which is crazy.
Yeah, just looking at the picture now, like, Sixto, I don't mean to be rude to you, but you kind of look like David Ortiz right now.
Dude, he looks like a spitting image of Ortiz during that incident.
Can I give you guys a really, really hot take?
Of course.
Please.
Mr. Chris Bryant of the Colorado Rockies, playing in Coors Field, will re-find his Chicago Cubs form and will be worth his contract. I could be dead wrong. I probably will be. He has not been good there. But I want to throw that one out there.
Hey, man, at Coors Field, anything is possible.
Exactly.
I wouldn't rule it out. Okay, for my hot take, and I don't know how bold this really is, because I have just an unlimited amount of belief in Bo Bichette. But I'm going to predict Bo Bichette wins the batting title and leads the league in hits for a third time. Would have been a fourth consecutive year if he didn't get hurt last year. And I'm going to say he is an MVP finalist.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
I want to get your thoughts on my Manoah take as well when you're done with Bo.
Oh, I'm good with Bo. I'm just going to leave that out there for what it is. I did want to comment on the Manoah thing, actually. I just don't have that confidence in him. I think that I wouldn't rule it out at the same time, but I definitely wouldn't be confident enough to call it. I just think that anything you get from Manoah at this point is a bonus. I think you can't really expect anything. So that's a big what if for me.
Yeah, I like your Bo prediction. He's a career 299 batter. He needs one hit. Like if he gets a hit his first at bat on Thursday, he will be at career 300, right? Hitting's always been a strong suit. Everyone knows that, same as his father. I could see him hitting in the 320s. That'd be awesome. I also could see him hitting 295. But I like your optimism. For the Blue Jays' sake, I hope you are correct. He's definitely got the talent to do so.
Yeah, and that's really what could differentiate the Jays between, you know, making the playoffs, not making the playoffs this year, or you know, if things swing the right way for them in a couple different spots, winning the division versus, you know, being a wild card team. Bo having a huge, you know, MVP kind of caliber season, Vladdy bouncing back to his 2021 form. These are the kind of things that can swing a season for a team. So really, really need those guys to perform to the level that I think everyone believes they can and knows they can based off what they've demonstrated in the past.
Yeah, Bo is I really hope he eclipses the 200 hit threshold. That would be awesome. And yeah, 311 is the best year he's had, but he only had 212 plate appearances. It was his first season in the bigs. I would love to see him hit over 300. That would be awesome. We need him to. Yeah.
At the end of the day, 290 is very good.
Absolutely.
I think he just has such a high standard for himself, and we have such a high standard for him that we expect over 300. Like I said, that is his career average, even though it is a short career. I would also love to see Vlad back over 300 threshold and not what did he hit last year?
I think he had 264, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
that's not ideal.
No, not definitely ideal. Not. So that's pretty much all we have for today. The Jays opener and the Major League's opening day is going to be a few days from now on Thursday, March the 28th. So everyone is, you know, very much anticipating the opening of baseball season. It's a special time of year. You know, anything's possible. Everyone's 0-0 going into the season. So just have to sit back and watch it all unfold.
Yeah, it's crazy to think the next time we record, we're going to be pretty much finished the Rays series. And there's going to be some good storylines to chat about from that. I'm excited to see Berrio toss it out there first day.
Especially after what happened.
They're going to watch them leave him in too long this game. Just to show the guys that, hey, we're not going to do that again.
John Schneider's like, look, I've changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really hope that his second opening day start with the Jays is the exact opposite of his nightmarish 2022 opening start, because that was pretty much the worst it can go. So, I mean, here's to him throwing a complete game shutout, right? Hopefully it goes down in the opposite fashion.
Yeah, the complete game shutout, something that has eluded the Jays for some time now, until last season when finally we got one.
Yeah. Bassett throwing that shutout against the Braves is nothing short of a miracle.
Man, it took. We had a Ryu doubleheader, complete gamer that was 2020, I believe. Maybe it was 2021. Can't remember. But
that
Burley
was seven innings, though, if I remember
exactly.
Correctly,
so
right?
Burley was the last full nine inning one way back when. Anyway, yeah. I was on that case real hard. I was real excited when Bassett finally got to throw one last season.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all we got for you guys today. We'll be coming back and breaking down the Jays opening weekend of the season next week. And we'll also go around the MLB a little bit more and just kind of touch on what the opening weekend looks like around the league. So thanks, guys. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to episode 2 of Bullpen Banter. And have a nice day.